Good morning, everyone. This is Brian Torchin with HCRC Staffing. We're the medical staffing solution providers for the chiropractic profession, placing everything from office managers, medical billing, chiropractors, medical doctors, PAs, NPs. Today we're doing a teleseminar with a Florida healthcare attorney, Mr. Jeff Cohen. A little bit about Mr. Cohen. He's got 25 years of healthcare law experience with expertise in transactional healthcare and corporate matters. He's equally knowledgeable about contract law, corporate, and employment law, and all the specific laws and compliance regulations that relate to healthcare entities like Stark, anti-kickback, fraud and abuse, and HIPAA. He's a member of the American Health Lawyers Association, and he was named Best Healthcare Attorney in 1995 by the Medical Business and Healthcare Awards. Mr. Cohen, welcome to the teleseminar. How are you today?
Oh, great. Thanks, Brian.
Great. Terrific. So, everyone, we're going to be starting out with some general questions relating to setting up an MD-DC structure for your chiropractic integrated office. The very first step in doing so is finding a qualified healthcare attorney. And Mr. Cohen's going to walk us through some of these the pitfalls that we should all be watching out for and how to set these entities up correctly. So, Mr. Cohen, I'd like to start out with our first question of the day is, what are some of the pitfalls a chiropractor needs to be aware of when starting an integrated practice? Can you kind of just kind of go over some of the pitfalls we should look out for?
You bet. You know, we do a lot of integration work around the country, and the first thing that we got to answer, and the first thing that doctors have to look for, is what we call corporate practice prohibitions. The corporate practice prohibitions are the things that interfere with the ability of somebody to hire a doctor in the first place. So, and those laws are looked at and determined on a state-by-state basis. Every law is a little bit different. A lot of consultants and lawyers are good at looking at the federal levels, but they miss the state law issues or they oversimplify them. That's probably the biggest issue that you've got to look at. The second issue that really you have to look at and figure out is the self-referral restrictions. There's federal ones, people know about Stark, and then there's state ones. And they're different, and they conflict. And I suppose the third difficulty in these integrated practices has to do with how physicians are compensated and how, if you have a management structure in place, because you have a corporate practice prohibition, how the manager gets compensated. Because you don't want to violate the fee-splitting prohibitions. You don't want a kickback. You don't want a fee-splitting problem. And you don't want any self-referral issues. Those kinds of things arise when you have a model, for example, where you have two corporate entities, tends to put you at risk. When you're paying somebody on a percentage-based compensation arrangement, tends to create these risks. And other things like that.
That makes a lot of sense. Thank you. What is you mentioned Stark. What is Stark? And is that, I hear a lot about that. Is that the most critical law that we have to be wary of?
It's one of them. I mean, when I look at, you know, the menu of pitfalls, you got to look at self-referral problems, fee-splitting problems, kickback issues. Those are probably the biggest ones in addition to the corporate practice issue. Stark is a federal law. It comes into play if the practice receives money from Medicare, Medicaid, Champus, or TRICARE. So some of these laws, the federal laws, arise when you take federal or state health care money. But you also have to look at the state issues as well. So, for example, in Florida, we have our own version of Stark, and that's called the Florida Patient Self-Referral Act.
Okay.
So when people say, hey, it's compliant with Stark, that's great. Stark splits into two pieces, and it talks about the ability of a doctor to refer to things that he or she owns that provide certain services that we call designated health services. It also applies to compensation arrangements between healthcare providers, like leases, employment agreements, management contracts, and things like that. So we have both federal laws like that and we got state laws like that. One of the tricky things, though, is when you try to weave together both the federal and state law. So you'll sometimes find, as we do in Florida, for example, that complying with Stark is a good thing, not just because you comply with the federal law, because there are state laws that also require compliance with the federal laws.
Huh.
That can be very confusing and tricky. You have to weave them together.
Yeah, I didn't realize that there was separate state ones, too. That's great information. There was a lot that goes along with that.
Yep.
I get questions from chiropractors wanting to know if they can actually set these structures up themselves, or if they should hire an attorney or a consultant to do this. Can you kind of talk about that? It sounds very intricate, so the answer seems obvious, but maybe you can kind of talk about why, you know, finding a healthcare attorney is so crucial, and one that only really specializes in healthcare law.
Yeah, you know, it's I admit it sounds self-serving, and lawyers are famous for overcomplicating things, but I can tell you that these kind of practices, integrated practices, are high-risk practices. The regulators believe that the only reason why chiropractors and MDs or DOs practice together is so that chiropractors can break the law. When I first started putting these practices together, I don't know, 20 years or so ago, the first thing I did is I looked at all the prosecutions around the country involving chiropractors and MDs or DOs. And I found a whole bunch of really frightening things that related not only to the legal issues that we're talking about, but what goes on inside those practices, for example, patient channeling, or the use of standing orders, and things like that. And there are criminal prosecutions around the country, as recent as last year, on these sorts of things. So when people say, hey, could I do it? The answer is, really? No, you can't. Straight
right.
out, you really can't. You need to speak with people who understand the law of the state where you're located, the federal laws, and how those things come together. You also need to work with people who understand that even complying with those laws is no assurance of success, because even if you have the properly structured business model, payers react differently to the model depending on how it's structured. In other words, you have to know what works, what doesn't work, what's legally correct, and what's legally incorrect. And it's complicated.
That makes sense, absolutely. That's a good piece of advice. What do you see that's driving the integration of MDs and chiropractors today?
Well, two things. We get laws that are changing, and market forces, that both of which produce one thing, which is price compression. You know, there's huge problems in the healthcare marketplace with the fees of doctors going down or being reduced through things like not just fee reductions, but copay and deductible responsibility increases being shifted to the patients, benefit limitations and things like that. So I think that what's happening is, because physicians' costs are either remaining the same or climbing, and their income is getting squeezed, they have to look for ways to provide a more comprehensive line of services to their patients.
That makes a lot of sense. Is it true that the MDDC practice requires the establishment of a chiropractic entity and then a separate medical entity?
No, not necessarily at all. I mean, you know, it really depends on state law. So, for example, in Florida, we don't have a corporate practice prohibition. Some states don't have corporate practice prohibitions. Most states do. In the states that do have a corporate practice prohibition, you will have to look at what I call a bifurcated model, where you have a medical entity and a management company that's owned by a chiropractor. But I can tell you that the laws of the different states affect that management model one way or another. A New York management company can do A, B, and C, but the Wyoming one can't. So when you look around the country and you look and see how the state laws affect the arrangements, it's true that some states will push you into a bifurcated model, but it's also true that if you've seen one bifurcated model, you've only seen one, and one size does not fit all. I think that's probably the biggest criticism that I have with consultants around the country who try to help chiropractors is they're very familiar with a model, and they try to use that model in all circumstances, but it's like anything else, you know, a size D width 10 black shoe is not something that's going to fit everybody, and it doesn't work in every state.
Huh, makes sense. Okay, great. What do you see some of the, what are some of the biggest challenges with the MD-DC relationship?
Legal compliance is probably the biggest thing. We've talked about a bunch of those legal issues briefly. And operationally, it's they're difficult businesses to shift to. It takes time to learn how to do one correctly. It takes time to learn how to bill and code properly. So operationally, they're a little challenging. Also, in the marketplace, and this is kind of an issue that varies based on where the practice is located, but different payers in different localities will enforce limitations on those practices. So, for example, one payer in an area might say, you know what, we're not going to do business with your single tax ID number that provides both chiropractic and medical services. Even though legally that may be the correct model, in some marketplaces, a payer or two may say, we don't like it. So you have to also get creative and find out what works both legally and will keep payers happy too.
That makes sense. Great. Jeff, if people want to get a hold of you, how can they contact you?
You know what? It's a good question. I've never called my 800 number, but the number that I'm in Florida anyway is 561-455-7700. You can also find us at floridahealthcarelawfirm.com, also nationalhealthcarelawfirm.com. I should also mention, Brian, that we have a presentation with audio and also some slides that goes into detail about all the laws that we're talking about in integrated practices, and we sell that for $100 on our website, nationalhealthcarelawfirm.com. So for those who are tinkering with the idea of doing that, it's a good place to start, because I think it's really important for doctors who are thinking about doing this. Number one, first get educated. We will not provide a document to anybody interested in integrated practice until they've been through an educational process with us, because we think it's really important that doctors know what laws apply, what to be careful about, and how to do things in a way that keeps their risk really low.
That's terrific. Absolutely. Makes a lot of sense.
Yep.
So if anyone has any questions directly for Mr. Cohen, you can reach him at the 561-455-7700 number. And again, his website is www.floridahealthcarelawfirm.com. That's all for today. If anyone has any questions for me, you could reach me at 267-251-5275. And our website is www.hcrcstaffing.com. Thanks for listening, everybody. We'll be back to you real soon. Take care.
Thanks, Brian.